let's get out to the Home Run In hotline. Home Run In Pizza. Try Chicago's number one selling frozen pizza today. And there we find Chris Cook. He does a great job covering the Blackhawks for the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Well, excited. News breaking today that both Donald Driver and Martina Navratilova will be on Dancing with the Stars. Cannot wait.
Oh, that's pretty good news.
Yeah, that's fantastic. No one else. The guy who plays Urkel, whoever Urkel was,
I think,
Jaleel White, he'll also be on.
Yeah, Jonathan Scott was the final cut. He almost made the group.
He had nothing else going on. Okay, let's start with Scott since Brian just brought that up. Did he not wish his teammates, hey, good luck? I hope someone
keep
has
your head
back.
Up. Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
Keep your head on a swivel. I'm not here to take care of business anymore.
Yeah, no, he definitely was kidding around. He said he heard from Marinhosa and Brian Bickell right after he got traded. And, you know, he's a very popular guy in the dressing room. And that goes a long way toward team chemistry. And, you know, you're talking about taking one of the guys out of the room that everybody liked and also that protected everybody on the ice. You know, a lot of John Scott had a lot of people say, you know, why is he on the ice? Why is he doing that? He really was a deterrent in a lot of instances for players taking runs at some of the Hawks stars. So, you know, that's going to be a void that the Blackhawks need to fill. I think you'll be looking at Jamal Myers, a guy is going to be looking at to kind of step in if somebody takes some liberties with some players. But it's kind of a surprising move. You know, John Scott didn't get the ice time that maybe he wanted or the Blackhawks he wanted to give him. But I still think he was the deterrent, and it's going to be a void that they're going to have to fill.
Why? Why did they do it? I mean, it's a fifth-round pick. I heard
he's unrestricted at the end of the year. He was not coming back. Was
I heard Bowman say that he was that they've done very well in the fifth round and pointed out a couple of the guys.
Boy, that sounds like
Jerry
Angelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that they just thought, you know, they got some guys coming in, they got some guys coming back, and you're not going to get ice time, so why not get something for them? Which, you know, they got a fifth-round pick, and of course, Stan Bowman's going to spin that into, hey, we've got Marcus Kruger in the fifth round, yeah. Andrew Shaw in the fifth round, so that, you know, we can go get somebody for him. You know, I think if you're not going to play a guy, give him a chance somewhere else and get something for him.
Well, here's the thing, Chris, if I'm reading this correctly from Hawks fans yesterday, Stan Bowman did the near impossible. He took the heat off of Corey Crawford, Q, Kaner, Marinhosa, and Duncan Keith, because now he's the most unpopular guy in the organization because they think they took all the bows for Dale's team, and since he's been the guy making the moves, no one can point to anything that's really worked out for him.
Well, you know, that's true. He's kind of he was on the clock, and he made one move, and, you know, brought in Johnny Oduya, a defenseman. Is that going to be enough? You know, we've been talking about all season how they wanted a number two center, and Stan Bowman had the cap space. He had the desire, and he did not get that number two center. I know that, you know, he takes two to tango, but I think certainly if Stan Bowman would have upped some offers on his part, he could have gotten somebody. So right now, yeah, I think you have to reserve a little judgment. You have to see how the Blackhawks do here down the stretch. They turn it around. You know, obviously they've got some injuries. But if they don't make the playoffs or if they bow out in the first round, I think you got some heat on Stan Bowman because he had the, as I said, he had the wherewithal, but he didn't pull it off. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens if the Hawks don't go very far in the playoffs. You know, what is John McDonough say? Hey, you didn't do enough. You know, we gave you the cap space. You traded Brian Campbell. You got his $7 million off the books, and you didn't use it. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of the season.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, there was talk about Joel Quenneville being under pressure, and you know, Stan had to come out and say, oh, no, he's our guy, and we love him. You get the sense that Joel would get a job in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
What about Stan?
Well, first of all, yeah, ridiculous rumors about Joel Quinn. I don't think that was ever going to happen. You know, I mean, you've got ebbs and flows, you know, throughout every season. A 9-game losing streak, that was a major, you know, major ebb. But you don't go fire Joel Quinn, but one of the best coaches in the NHL. You know, Stan Bowman, there's, you know, tricky situation because you've got Scotty Bowman there who's advising John McDonough. I'm pretty sure he's not going to advise him to get rid of his son. So it's the dynamic there is kind of funky. So, but you've got a guy. Stan Bowman has been around the organization a long time. He's obviously got some pedigree there, but he's a pretty unproven general manager. I know that he won the Stanley Cup, but we all know who the architect of that team was. That was Dale Talon. So now you've got Stan Bowman. He's got to kind of recover from, you know, Dale Talon's salary cap doings, and he's got some other things going on. But it's his team now, you know, and these guys are going to be held accountable for what's going on here. Certainly the core is in place, so I think he gives some more chances to fix things, but you know, again, let's reserve judgment until after the season. But if they're not there after the season, you look at this team that, hey, we're not going to win a Stanley Cup this year, next year's in doubt, then you start pointing some fingers and say, hey, maybe Stan's got to be looked at.
You've been writing at length about this, Chris. You've had to sit down with Q during the long road trip and losing streak, and he admitted that he let things get too far. He let this team to think it's an offensive machine. It can outscore teams every night, and got away from the defensive-minded philosophy, and I don't know if it's too late in the season to rein that in, but now it just sometimes the team looks like it's a lot of times it looks like it's playing soft, doesn't want to put a body in front of a shot, doesn't want to put a body on a body, and during the little four-game win streak, it looked like they were dumping the puck and playing the body a lot more than they are.
Yeah, they really are. And you know, the thing is this team really is on a roller coaster ride. You mentioned it. Some nights they look like they're willing to pay the price, and other nights they look like they're not. Yeah, we were just out on the West Coast. It did not look like they were willing to pay. There's not a sense of desperation there that I think needs to be there, because you look at the standings, what are they, 3 points out of eighth place? That's kind of dangerous territory. You know, we talked to Joel Quenneville all season long. He said, what I don't want to be is in this position where we need to win in the final day, or, you know, the final week.
Or get, like we were, like yeah, get someone to help you out.
Right. You know, and right now that's kind of in disarray, because we don't know how Jonathan Toews is. We don't know how Nicholas Jarmolson is. You know, it sounded like Joel Quenneville the other day said it sounded like they might be able to play on Wednesday night against Maple Leafs, and then he's kind of backing off on that, saying, well, neither one of them skating, so we need to figure out what's going on at practice. It would not surprise me if we come into practice today and we find out that Jonathan Toews is not ready. So now what do you do? Now, you've called up Andrew Shaw. The reports that they called up Brian Boleg, another guy, a youngster. We'll find out that's the true story. But it's just a matter of you've got to get these guys playing with a sense of desperation, and it's not there. And, you know, I don't really feel in the dressing room either. You know, they say the right thing, say, yeah, we've got to get going here, but you really got to get going here. You're in danger of missing the playoffs.
You know, let's talk a little bit about Johnny Oduya. What he said himself, that he's a pretty good penalty killer. We know that he's a nice positional player, that he can take the puck and skate with it, but he's a defensive defenseman.
Right. You know, yeah, he's a puck mover. You know, he's a fast guy, a fast skater, which is always good. You always want one of those guys. But he's not going to go out and, you know, bowl people over, and he's not going to be on the power play and be that quarterback on the power play that you want. But he's a solid guy who's going to give you 20 minutes, which is what you want, because you've got Nick Leddy playing a ton of minutes right now. You know, he's still developing. He's still 20 years old, and you don't want to put that much pressure on him. So he's going to be able to step in there, maybe the fourth defenseman, and, you know, and add all those minutes, which is very important. But to me, it wasn't the blockbuster move. There wasn't even the move you needed. I don't know if you need to make a blockbuster, but you need to make more additions. And I don't think, in my opinion, it was enough. But again, you know, we'll reserve judgment on that. But Oduya is a very solid veteran defenseman who's going to come in, play 20 minutes, and that's what they needed right now.
They gave up a second and a third, not this year, but next year for Oduya. Is he sticking around? Did they talk to the agent? I mean, that seems like in any sport, that's pretty good assets to be trading for a guy who's unrestricted at the end of the year.
Yeah, too early to call. You know, we asked him on the conference call, hey, you know, have you thought about signing next year? He said, well, I'm not even with the team yet this year, so I haven't even thought about that. You know, that's a dangerous situation. You thought you could sign Chris Campoli. That didn't work out, so you lost him. You know, too early to call on whether they're going to be able to sign him. But, you know, I think you also give him kind of a trial unit. Does he fit in the Joel system? You've got about, 19 games here to figure out if he's going to be a guy that you want in the system for quite a while. But certainly he's going to be a guy you're looking at next season if you need to add to the defensive depth, sure.
Hey, how's the upper body injury?
You know, I'm day to day. Like we all, I'm day to day.
The taser.
You know, that's a good question. We're going to find out more today. We haven't, you know, he wasn't with the team in California, so I haven't seen him in a few days. Neither the Blackhawks. And Joel said that he's going to, you know, give an evaluation of what happened, what's going on with Taze today. But if he's not skating, that tells me he's probably not going to play Wednesday. And then, you know, now you're looking at it's going to be, what, five, six games? That's a long time. So yeah. We don't know yet. It's going to be pretty interesting to find out what Joel Quenneville says today.
Even at full strength, Chris, is this team good enough to make a run deep into the playoffs? You know, they were two months ago. They're at the top and they're doing well. But there's really no identity on this team this year. There's just not a feel to this team that, yeah, they could really be there at the end. And you saw two, three teams, San Jose, Nashville, Vancouver, all upgrade yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of wavering on that. If they're healthy, if everybody's healthy and all the pieces are in place and they start playing well like they did in January when they're top in the NHL, certainly they can make a deep run. But it seems to me that's just so many ifs at this point, so many question marks, that it would really be surprising to me if this team right now, the way it's built, makes a run of the Stanley Cup Finals. But, you know, once you get to the playoffs, anything's possible. And certainly the assets are there. You've got the great core group. You know, you're going to see Joe Quenneville shorten the lines and the benches. He'll roll, you know, three lines as opposed to four. He'll play Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook a ton of minutes. And once you get to the postseason, those guys can do that. And I think that they're certainly a dangerous team, but just the way it is in the field in the dressing room right now, to me, doesn't say Stanley Cup champion. But, you know, I've been wrong before, and we'll find out.
There are rumors online. I mean, and this is blog stuff, so I mean, maybe it's crazy, but that there has been an edict passed down that's preventing Bowman from spending money. That they can't add any significant salary this year or past July 1st, and that's come from Rocky and John McDonough. Is that, have you heard anything along those lines? Is that part of the problem here?
I heard those rumors. I can't confirm or deny them, but that would just stun me. I think that John McDonough and Rocky were to do anything to win another Stanley Cup and to keep people in the United Center seats. So that would be very surprising to me. I don't know where that came out of, but I'm not hearing that at all.
Okay. Great stuff, Chris. Really appreciate your time.
In time, guys. Take care.